We've been talking for the last several weeks about the faith of Jesus and what it means to have the faith of Jesus. Jesus, being God, is from the beginning. He's the Word of God. And we're just going to give a little backpedal on this. He's the Word of God. He's the Word of God that said, in the beginning, let there be light. And there was light. He said, let the oceans teem with fish and let the skies be filled with birds. Let all kinds of animals be on the earth. He's the same God who created man in his own image. Male and female, he created them. And every person who comes from Adam and Eve, every person on the earth, our parentage comes from Adam and Eve. Mark 9 is the encounter that we've been going back to of the man who comes and he's got the epileptic son, or, you know, some translations say the lunatic, you know, however you, whatever version, whatever translation you're reading it from, the kid had problems. He was being tossed into fire, tossed into water, and whatever was doing it was causing him to try to kill himself, right? It was death was approaching him. And the man came to the disciples because Jesus is up on a mount, right? And he's fellowshipping. And he comes down, and the disciples couldn't cast out the spirit. And he didn't say, well, you know, it's all right. You just need more practice. He said, you have little faith. And he turns to the man and he asks him some questions. And the man says, you know, gives him the story, relays the story again. And Jesus says, he said, Master, if you can do anything. And Jesus replies back, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So we've said this before. If I'm believing for something and it doesn't happen, maybe my belief isn't as believing as I think it is. Maybe what I'm doing isn't right. Maybe my approach, maybe my thinking, like the disciples, they had seen Jesus do this. Jesus himself had sent the disciples out, remember? And they performed signs and wonders. But here in this case, it wasn't happening. Why? I don't know. But I can tell you what's missing. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Does that leave anybody out? No. Every person who can believe. We've said that belief is of the heart. Faith is of the heart. Romans 10 says, with the heart one believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Every person who got born again, who is saved, believed first in their heart, then confessed with their mouth. Faith is of the heart. It's not of the head. See, and I've said this before, Satan knows Scripture, but he doesn't understand it. If he did, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Right? Mark 16:16. Starting in verse 15, and Jesus said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Who is the responsibility put on for believing? Us. If I choose not to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the one sent from God to save mankind from sin, then I'm condemning myself. It's not God condemning someone. God's not doing it. He says, if you believe, you'll be saved. If you don't, you're condemned. God has given a free gift, and it's up to us to open it. Hebrews 11:6 said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible is a very big, important word right there. It is not possible to please God without faith. No matter what I do, if I'm not in faith about it, if I'm not trusting him through it, then I'm not pleasing to him. Paul writes in Corinthians, he says, you can give all that you have to the poor, but without love, it says, faith works by love. If faith works by love and I don't have love and I'm giving everything I have to the poor, I'm not in faith, then it means nothing. It's just noise. It's just, oh, look what we did. Patting ourselves on the back. Mark 11, 23, 24. Mark 11, 23. We'll start in verse 22. Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive, and you will have them. There's the order given of faith. We have to believe first before we receive. It's our believing that causes us to receive. It's not our good works. See, you know, the law was never given as a means of salvation. It was given as a means of, and I always like to say this, the law is given to keep us from going completely bonkers. You know what I'm saying? If we didn't have the law, we wouldn't know what good behavior or bad behavior was. And then if you look in the world today, the prophet said, they will call evil good and good evil. Today, things that we would consider evil are being called good in the world. And vice versa. We have to have faith. We have to have faith in the word of God. We have to have the faith of God. In verse 22 of Mark 11, have faith in God can literally be translated, have faith of God. The faith of God. What does God do? He says, my word does not return void, but it goes out and accomplishes that very thing which I send it unto do. That's the faith of God. When you say something, you have faith it's going to happen. There's an expectation. Expectation. Hebrews 11, 1. Ooh. Expectation. I'm building up some expectation. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. God framed this world. Everything that's in it was created, was framed by his word. There's nothing in this world that was not in his heart and in his mind when he created it and framed it with his words. We're to have the faith of God. That means then we're to be framing our world with our words. Framing. When God said dog, he didn't have some random image of a dog. You just mean dog, like you see in a book, just the letters D-O-G. No, he saw specifically the dog, and he saw specifically that the DNA and the breed of dog, every breed of dog, was in this first dog. So when God tells Noah to get all of the clean and the unclean animals and to put them on the ark, he didn't get two chihuahuas and two poodles. Good Lord, that's a lot of dogs. And they'd be barking at everything. It was two dogs. Because the genetic code for every dog is in dogs. You get a couple of dogs, mixed breed, and you're going to get all kinds of breed of dog. You get two people. Everybody ever heard about the woman, I think it was in the UK, and she gave birth to twins, and one was black and one was white? From the same mother. Come on, tell me that God isn't putting the DNA of every living thing in every living thing. Did you know that we are 99% the same DNA as a pine tree? Come on, 99% the same DNA as a pine tree. Why? Because God created us. He formed us out of the dirt. From the dirt you came to the dirt you'll go. Come on, you're just dirt anyway. It doesn't matter. That's the whole thing, you know, there when Jesus says, it's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out. It had everything in the world to do with, the Pharisees said that you have to clean your hands a certain way in order to eat. Then they got mad at Jesus because Jesus' disciples weren't doing it. It's dirt. You get a little dirt. Kids eat dirt. Kids eat dirt. I used to love to make mud pies. I don't remember ever eating one. Oh, but yeah, we used to love to make mud pies. Now we make chocolate cake instead. Oh, I think I need some chocolate cake. Jesus was a faith preacher. He had an expectation. In Hebrews 11:1, the word hope, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Expectation is hope in this reference. In this here, when we see the word hope, it literally means a joyful expectation. Not just I sure hope it doesn't get too hot today. Gee, I hope I like my hair after I get it cut this week. No. Gee, I hope that the yolk doesn't break in the egg when I go to flip it. You know what I'm saying? That's not hope. That's wishing. When you wish upon a star, your dreams come true. Come on, I love Disneyland, but that's not true. We have to have an expectation that what God said he was going to do, he's going to do. There's a joyful expectation. Did anybody ever get saved and all you did was cry and mope around and go, oh, this is just, I don't know how I'm ever going to work this out. No, you got saved, man. I'm telling you what, it was like somebody took all your cares away. You had a joyful expectation about it. You heard that Jesus died for you, and he did it for you personally. And if you were the only person who'd ever sinned, he did it for you. He would have done it just for you. I don't know some of you. I'm not sure I would, maybe. But I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But Jesus did it, and he did it, it says, for the glory set before him. What is the glory set before? It's you. You're the glory set before him. You're the glory. We're growing from glory to glory, faith to faith, image to image. Even as we behold ourselves in the Word of God, we're growing. We have faith. We have expectation. Expectation is a joyful expectation. Come on, it's joyful. Having faith in God, walking with God, gives you joy. When bad things happen, come on, in this world you're going to have trouble, but do not fear, I have overcome this world. I can walk through the fire, I can walk through the water, I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Behold, he has prepared a table before me. Come on, there's a feast. In the middle of everything that we can go through, there's a feast that God has prepared for us. Come on, I get happy about feasts, especially if I don't have to prepare it. I'm talking about Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying? Come on. There's a feast that he has prepared for us. If there's a feast and we know that we're just walking through the valley of the shadow of death, that means that on the other side, there's a victory. And what we do is we hold on to that expectation that it doesn't matter what's happening and how many people are hitting at me and how many people are speaking ill of me. And no matter what's going on, I'm just going to keep on walking through, because there is another side to the valley. If you've ever been in a valley, it's a valley. It's surrounded by ridges of mountains. Air for the Ridge Church. Come on. Hallelujah. Expectations. Romans 8:24. Oh, we'll start in verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting. Have you ever seen a kid getting, they're eager for Christmas. They're eager for birthday. They're not eager for the event. They're eager for the presents. They're eager for the cake. Come on, our house, we have dessert nights. It's not every night. So on dessert nights, they're eager for desserts, right? Because kids love sweets. Most kids. I've heard there are some that don't. And Michael. Michael loves sweets. Eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. That's what we're all looking for. We're looking forward to, in the end times, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, we who remain will be changed and we will be glorified. We'll have that glorified body. I'm expecting that. I don't care what happens after that. I don't care if it's pre-trib, mid-trib, multiple trib, pan-trib, post-trib. I'm going to be changed. I have a guarantee that my body is going to be changed. At some point, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet is going to blow. I got a good idea what that is because there's a whole feast that God created for the children of Israel called the Feast of Trumpets. And it's a time that you don't know when it's going to happen. It could happen on this day or it could happen on that day. But no man knows the day or the hour except my Father. No man knows the day or the hour except his Father. Because his Father's the one who put all of this up here in order to be signs for us. There are plenty of signs. I'm in eager expectation. Very soon, I'm going to be changed. Hallelujah. Come on, you can say hallelujah to that. We're going to be changed. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is not seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what one sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Hope, expectation. I don't know, I don't understand, but if I see it happen, then I'm not expecting it. If I unwrap the present and look at it, I'm no longer expecting it. But there's expectation that comes from believing when we have prayed that we have received something that should get us into some joy. Because he's faithful who promised. He's faithful who said, if you do this, you're going to get this result. Some people say, well, you know, sometimes you're very legalistic about things. You know why? Because God is. God created order. God created standards. Be holy, he says, as I am holy. We don't get to just live and do however we want and then be expecting something. Expectation comes from when I look at my situation and I give it to him and I declare the end from the beginning and I say, this is how this situation's going to work out. This is what I'm believing for. And no matter what happens along the way, you know, Sarah could not conceive when she was 20. Did you know that? She didn't have children when she was 20. She could not conceive. Her womb was barren. But they got a word from God, you're going to have children. Come on. They were hopeful expectation. Yeah, they got a little off in the flesh like everyone. Tried to make it happen their own way. Right? Saved by hope. Saved through expectation. Hope and expectation have an attitude. Eagerly awaiting. My in-laws were coming up this last week, and they left. It was like 11 o'clock in the morning from the Central Coast. And all day, the kids and us were eagerly awaiting when they're going to be here. Well, have you talked to your mom and dad? Do you know where they're at yet? We're eagerly awaiting for them. We know that they're on their way. They were having trouble with their car, but there was still an eager expectation. They're on their way. Josiah went to bed crying because he didn't get to see them before they got here, because his expectation was he was going to see his grandparents and play a game with them that night. Expectation did not disappoint. He has played so many games with them since they got here. But it didn't happen at the time he was looking for. But we didn't give up hope. Expectation has hope. It has joy. If I'm in faith, I'm not crying and complaining about it anymore. Now I'm in hope. I'm in expectation. I'm not whining about that it's not working out. Of course, I'm not sitting in the car on the side of the freeway because the car has overheated yet again, and we don't know why. there would probably be some frustration there for me because they're in the valley. But they did make it to the ridge. I love how that stuff works out, don't you? For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is not seen is not hope. If it's visible to you now, if it's already happened, you're not in hope over it. You've already received the manifestation of the thing that you were hoping for. Hope, we were saved by hope. We heard about Jesus. We had a joyful expectation that when someone said, if you'll receive him as your Lord, you're going to be saved. I was eager to receive. I was eager. Faith has an expression. 2 Corinthians 13:5. I love the Bible. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. Examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. If I'm crying and I'm upset and I've got fear and I've got doubt and I'm ruled by those things, then I am not in faith that the situation's going to work out, am I? No. I'm not having an eager expectation. I'm in doubt. I'm in unbelief. I'm condemning myself through my behavior, through my actions. I'm bringing death to me instead of life. Choose this day, life or death. Choose this day, blessing or cursing. Every decision that we make, every word that we speak, every expectation we have is our responsibility. We're to choose. Am I going to choose to be in faith over this situation, or am I going to choose to be in fear over it? My choice. My choice. I have the choice of reaction. I can choose how I respond to a situation. We tell our children all the time, you don't like it, but you have the choice right now. How are you going to act about it? You're going to cry and be upset because Josiah does this. Every time we go to Walmart, he thinks it's time for a toy. He's 7. He can think that way. And every time he says, Daddy, are we going to Walmart? Uh-huh. And I know what's coming next. He says, can I buy a toy? No, not today. But every time we go to Walmart, no, that's not true. We don't always buy you toys when we go to Walmart. Yeah, you do. No, we don't. When was the last time we bought you a toy at Walmart? Well, you bought the fidget spinner. No, we ordered that online. That was months ago. How is he going to respond? He gets upset. He cries. I say, this is your choice. You control your feelings. You control your response. How are you going to behave about this? You know what? When you tell your at the time, 11-year-old, 10-year-old, that her retina has been detached and that she's going to require surgeries, and we're believing God, and still after 2 surgeries, things don't work out right naturally, and she says, you know, I'm still believing God. It's her response. Listen, if an 11-year-old, and now she's 13, 13-year-old can continue to be in faith and believing God for restoration of something. We can too. Don't give up hope. Don't give up expectation. Joy is the expression of a person who's in faith. How can I know if I'm in faith? I'm not moping about. I've got joy. I've got joy. I've got joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's who we are. We're the righteousness of God. We've got peace with God. I've got joy that no matter how things look, I'm trusting him. And it's going to work out.
Hallelujah.
Romans 8:25 again says, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years from the time they were promised to have a son. And not just a son, but to become the father of many nations. And they didn't even have one child. And Sarah was barren when she was 20. Sarah was barren when she was 30. She was barren when she was 50. Come on, at 50, nobody's wanting to have children. I'm 52, and I am happy. My quiver is full. I don't want any more children. I am happy with the ones I've got. Some people, they like to go on and have their children and raise them, and then adopt and have fosters and do all that other stuff. Not me. Not me. Bless the ones that do, though. Bless the ones that love and care for other people's children. Jesus waited until the time was fulfilled, and then the Father sent him in the fullness of time. The Father had been waiting since the Garden of Eden to bring a full restoration to those who would love him and trust him. He waited patiently, didn't he? Actually, in James it says, the father or the husbandman waits patiently for the precious fruit of the earth. When we have eager expectation and we stop looking at the natural circumstances and start looking and focusing on him, then we're in expectation. It doesn't matter how long it takes because time is irrelevant. What matters is our faith. Hope, expectation creates perseverance. Perseverance gives us the ability to keep serving while we're waiting, to keep expecting while we're watching, to keep in faith and have a joyful expectation. 25 years after they're promised a son, along comes the son. 25 years later. Hebrews 25 says, "Don't cast your confidence away, for our confidence has great expectation." Romans 4. Yeah, I move around a lot in the Bible. Romans 4, 17 through 24 says, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." God is having Abraham and Sarah now call something that was dead, which was Sarah's womb, alive. They're having people refer to them as the father and mother of many nations. They're now framing their world with their words. They are creating their expectation and outcome. They're declaring this is how it's going to be. He calls those things that be not as though they were. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed. Contrary to an expectation, they're in their 70s. Contrary to expectation that they should have children, they had expectation that they would have children. Contrary to what the doctor might have told you, you have expectation that it's going to be different. You have expectation that he who promised is faithful. Because God, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, it is impossible for him to lie. He's not a man that he should lie. It is impossible for him to lie, and it is impossible for us to... It is impossible for us to please him. Without faith, it is impossible for him to lie. Two immutable facts. So that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken to him, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened with faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him as righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. This life story is given to us, it's written to us so that we can understand they're dead in their womb. They're near 100, but they're going to believe God for something impossible. Believe God. Nothing is impossible to him who believes. We have to have expectation. Expectation. When you're about ready to give up and you get the call, I found the perfect house. Don't give up. Come on. God is concerned about the things that concern us. We're supposed to bring things to him in prayer. And have an expectation that he heard us, and he who is faithful is going to provide that thing that he said. I told you about this, and I love this. And then we're going to close. When Kathy was in Alaska, it was at Abbott Loop Church, right? With the mountain?
Yeah, we were at Christian camp.
And you guys were there. They had this beautiful building, but they didn't have a big enough parking lot. And there was a mountain in the way. This is a literal expectation that this mountain is taking up parking space. So they got the leadership out there together and they prayed about it. And they cast the mountain into the sea. The next week, they get a phone call from a construction worker who wants to come pay them for dirt from their mountain as fill dirt for a project he's working on. Come on, cast your mountain into the sea. Have a confident expectation that the thing that you put before him, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly. And when you hear a testimony like that, because they witnessed it, when you hear a testimony like that, they waited for 2 years for a house. When you hear a testimony about how God is moving in somebody else's life, it builds your faith. That's why we have Abraham and Sarah. Because they give us expectation that what he said he was going to do, he's going to do. Don't give up. Don't throw out your faith. Your faith has great expectation and confidence. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. Oh, Father, we thank you for encouraging us, giving us a hopeful expectation that when we put our faith in you, that we're putting our faith in the one who makes all things possible. Oh, we glorify you today. We magnify you. Oh, I love you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.